Stillman and Company, delivered by TriStar Moving, ESP, and 102.5 The Game. Fireball Hot Take Friday, Hall of Fame weekend in the NFL. I'm not much of a Hall of Fame guy. Now, I truly look at the players that get inducted into the Hall of Fame, and I mean, I think that it is quite the accomplishment. I mean, there is no doubt how big of a deal it is to get into the Hall of Fame. And so if I had a gold jacket, I'd wear it everywhere I go. So I understand the importance of getting into the Hall of Fame. Now, there are guys that are going to get into the Hall of Fame that, quite frankly, I kind of take a little bit of an issue with. I don't think Edger and James should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think Bill Cowher should be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, there are coaches that are getting in, the players that are getting in that I just don't think belong in the Hall of Fame. But that's neither here nor there. So it's disappointing that the class of 2020 didn't get to have their ceremony last year. So they're going to go in this weekend as well as the class of 2021. So there'll be an induction on Saturday and an induction in on Sunday. And I think it's all in all 23 people are getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. And, you know, to each one, like Steve Hutchinson belongs in the Hall of Fame and Charles Woodson belongs in the Hall of Fame. But nobody belongs in the Hall of Fame more than Peyton. I mean, it's like in baseball when Derek Jeter got into the Hall of Fame and also Larry Walker got in. And I'm like, do we really need to have Larry Walker on the same stage as Derek Jeter? Because to me, there's two different kinds of Hall of Famers. There's Larry Walker, who after years of trying to get in and being a decent enough player and politicking gets in. And then there's Derek Jeter, who belongs in. And Peyton, there is no doubt from the end of that Super Bowl game where they beat the 15-1 Carolina Panthers, there is no doubt that Peyton Manning's next stop was going to be Cam. Peyton is, in my lifetime, the most likable player in the history of sports. He is more likable than everybody who's put on a uniform, maybe with the one exception of maybe Michael Jordan. And Michael had the gambling allegations that Peyton never had. So Peyton is incredibly likable. He's one of the best salesmen, pitchmen on TV ever. He's made the most money as an NFL player in the history of the sport. Add in the endorsement money. He was a great college player, even though he should have and didn't win the Heisman Trophy. And what's crazy is my entire life, I grew up rooting against Peyton Manning. When I grew up, we didn't have a pro football team here, but the Vols were the primary team. I grew up a Vanderbilt fan, but more importantly, my dad was rooting against UT, and that's what we did. So we were rooting against Peyton Manning. Peyton gets drafted to the Colts. The Oilers move to Tennessee. The Titans are 13-3. Manning and the Colts await in the divisional round after the Music City Miracle. I was rooting against Peyton. Then all of a sudden, they realign the divisions in the NFL, and come the Houston Texans. You go four divisions in each conference, four teams in each division, and Indianapolis ends up in the AFC South with the Titans. And for a decade, the Titans were tormented by Peyton Manning. I remember in the eighth grade going to a game at Nissan Stadium where all the Titans had to do was win, and they controlled their destiny with the AFC South, and they fumbled the game away to Peyton Manning. Peyton won a Super Bowl. The Titans got bad. He crushed them every year. I remember how ironic I thought it used to be to see the top rival's star player get cheered at your home venue. Now, he is the most popular player in the history of the college team here's organization, but still. And then I moved to New England, got my career started in New Hampshire. And everybody there loves the Patriots, and I love the Patriots, and I love Brady. Caroline, you've been here for 5 months. I love Tom Brady.
You love Tom Brady.
And if you love Tom Brady, that means you were always rooting for Tom Brady over Peyton Manning, and I was. I was rooting for Tom Brady when Peyton Manning's last matchup with Brady, the last great Manning-Brady game we got, the last Manning-Brady game we ever got, Peyton somehow, some way, even though he couldn't feel with the fingertips of the football anymore, somehow found a way to win on a two-point conversion at the end. It should be noted Gostkowski missed an extra point, which is why the Patriots had to go for two, but that's neither here nor there. Peyton won the Super Bowl, rode off into the sunset, had one of the best retirement speeches I can remember. He's still selling products. He's still visible. But I think back to how great Peyton was. And the fact that I was always rooting against him. And yet, I love Peyton Manning. I kind of feel like everybody loves Peyton Manning. He's just so darn likable. Whether it's the Oreos or the Buicks or the khaki shorts or the DirecTV commercials or the SportsCenter commercial where he and Eli are kicking each other like brothers through the hallways in Bristol. I don't know. He's always beating my teams, and yet I'm always rooting for Peyton Manning. But what I hope we remember about Peyton Manning as he enters the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which is the ultimate celebration of his legacy and the ultimate celebration of his accomplishments as a player. What I hope we remember is not for us, but for the future generations to remember how good Peyton Manning truly was. There's a program on ESPN Plus called Ahmad Inside, where Ahmad Rashad, who was, by all accounts, one of the main voices of the NBA in the 90s, sits down with Charles Barkley and Clyde Drexler and Pat Riley and Gary Payton. And the reason Ahmad Rashad wanted to do this is because he felt like there was an entire era of great players in basketball that we just don't even remember. Reggie Miller and the Pacers. Karl Malone, John Stockton and the Utah Jazz. We don't remember them anymore. Because when you think of the 90s and you think of the NBA, you think of Michael Jordan. And that's all anybody wants to talk about. And I worry 20 years from now, all anybody will think when it comes to this era of football is Tom Brady. And I understand that. But that doesn't diminish how great Peyton Manning was. When you talk about the greatest quarterback of all time, I think it's Brady. I don't even think it's close. But I know this. If there wasn't a Brady, we'd be having that discussion for Manning. How many more Super Bowls does Peyton Manning win if it's not for Tom Brady? 3? 4? So let's think about this and his legacy. And I think about it like this. Peyton Manning was drafted by the Indianapolis Colts. They were the worst team in the NFL. Since he got there, the general manager who drafted him is now in the Hall of Fame, Bill Polian. The head coach, who was his head coach primarily most of the time he was in Indianapolis, Tony Dungy, is now in the Hall of Fame. His number one wide receiver, Marvin Harrison, is in the Hall of Fame. His running back, Edgerrin James, is in the Hall of Fame. And his number two wide receiver, Reggie Wayne, is also going to end up in the Hall of Fame. When he went to Denver, they were an 8-8 level team with Tim Tebow at quarterback and immediately, overnight, made them a Super Bowl contender. He got to a Super Bowl with John Fox as a coach, and he won one with Gary Kubiak. When we think of the greatest coaches of all time, we'll never consider those two. Peyton Manning was incredible. Everything he touched turned into gold. And I'm telling you this, and you know it, because you lived it, because you remember those statistical anomaly seasons that now would probably be something you'd see out of Ryan Fitzpatrick, but the game was different back then. I remember when Peyton threw 50 touchdowns in a season. It was like, Peyton got the record. Peyton Manning was the best quarterback. He was a tactician. He was the guy that would outwork you. He'd get up to the line and he'd call out every player before every play. Peyton Manning was fantastic. And I say this knowing the audience listening right now knows that. That you remember. You were a Titan fan just like I was. And you remember how frustrating it was trying to have to beat Peyton Manning. When I was a freshman in college, I came down for a Monday night football game. The Titans, I believe at the time, were 8-0 or 9-0 or something like that. And it was a Monday night showdown against the Indianapolis Colts. And when the Titans beat the Colts on that Monday night, that's when you knew that team was for real. Peyton was always the measuring stick. He was in 99 in the divisional round when the Titans beat him. He was in 2008 when they won the division. He was when they beat him twice in 2002 to win a division. It was always Peyton Manning. But I just hope that the younger generation will appreciate Peyton Manning for how good he was. Because he really is one of the all-time greats. My generation, I don't know if we appreciate Jim Kelly for what he was, or if we appreciate Dan Marino for what he was. Maybe we appreciate John Elway. but we don't really love Joe Montana like people older than us do. And I just hope that that's not what becomes of Peyton Manning. Because Peyton's career was as good as anybody's whose name isn't Brady. I think it's incredibly classy for Tom Brady to go to Peyton Manning's induction ceremony. Because for an entire 15-year period, those two playing against each other was absolutely must-watch television. I thought it was so classy. Even as I was disappointed when the Patriots lost the AFC Championship game to the Broncos in 2015, when after it was over, all the cameras were on Peyton going back to the Super Bowl, and they were mobbing him on the field, and there was Bill Belichick going up to Peyton Manning having an extended conversation with a hand over his mouth. When I saw that, I knew what Belichick was saying. When Brady went up to Manning, I knew what he was saying. They were telling Peyton that the thrill that they had to compete against him, because they respected how hard it was. Sure, Brady got the better of Peyton more than Peyton got the better of Brady. Sure, Brady had the better career. Sure, we'll remember 20 years from now Tom Brady the way that we remember Michael Jordan in Chicago. But I hope that means that we won't forget about Peyton. I understand why Peyton doesn't want to jump into TV. I understand why he wants to do things at his own pace. He's got more money than he knows what to do with. But I just hope that while we celebrate everybody who goes into the Hall of Fame, that down the road, we don't let ourselves or people forget about what Peyton Manning was. Because just like with all those great basketball players in the 90s, everyone's only going to remember Michael Jordan. And I hope this great era of football that we lived in, starting probably around 2000, whether it was Manning, Brady, Kurt Warner, Drew Brees, this era, maybe Patrick Mahomes, hope we don't forget how good Peyton Manning was. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. I am looking forward to the speech. I think Peyton was told, what, 6 minutes, 8 minutes?
I don't know the exact number.
But he was told somewhere around there, because they right. want to get people going through, get them in and out. I thought Peyton's retirement speech that he gave when he retired from the Broncos, I thought that was the single, and I know Bill, you're thinking this is crazy. I thought that was the single best retirement speech I've ever seen. I mean, it was good. He gave shout outs to everybody. I mean, this is the thing I can't get over with Peyton. And you can say maybe similar things about Brady, but for Peyton Manning, he made guys great players that weren't great players. Like, Gronk is a great player. Brady didn't make Gronk a great player. Like, maybe Julian Edelman and Wes Welker, and maybe to a lesser extent, Deion Branch, Brady made great players. But, like, that's it. Peyton Manning made Demaryius Thomas a great player. He made Eric Decker a great player. He made Ben Utek, Dallas Clark, Jacob Tammy, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne. I mean, he made everybody great. He made his run at Dominic Rhodes and Joseph Addai. He made them great players. I hope we remember that about Peyton. And his defenses, even with Dungy as the coach, they were trash. I mean, if Bob Sanders wasn't on that defense in 2006, it would have been as bad as the Titans last year. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You got a thought on Peyton? Get it in there. 615-737-1025. It is Fireball Hot Take Friday. Speaking of Peyton and his induction into the Hall of Fame, I have a Fireball hot take on Peyton, and it involves something that everybody keeps talking about. Everybody keeps trying to figure out. I feel very strongly about this. It has to do with Peyton. We'll get to it next. 615-737-1025. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Hey, my friends at Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Pretty sure they're proud supporters because they're proud supporters of the Vols. And we know he's a Vol. It's grilling and chilling season, and Hiller is celebrating all month long with special deals for their customers. Get your free grilling must-haves when you make your home improvements, like a free Yeti Tundra cooler with the purchase of a new tankless water heater, free Traegerwood pellet grill with the purchase of a new whole home generator, free Traegerwood pellet grill with the purchase of select new HVAC systems. Their work is backed by the Happy You'll Be or the Service is Free guarantee. These deals are only happening for a limited time, so make sure you call now. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Nashville Predators and the Tennessee Volunteers. My friends at Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today. Again, that's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Call the Happy Face Truck today.
It's been a difficult time, but I know what Tennessee is capable of being. It's what it was when I was in school there, and I've been a devout supporter and always will be, and look forward to hopefully getting it back to where it was back when I was in school. It was a great place.
That was Peyton Manning talking about Tennessee. We know he loves the Vols. Every time they hire a coach, Peyton gets a microphone in front of his face and talks about, hey, I think this is great for Tennessee, and he's got to be a perfect politician, and I feel bad for Peyton because he can never tell you what he feels about Tennessee. But it is Fireball Hot Take Friday, and Peyton is getting inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame this weekend, and I have a Peyton take, and it is this. Every time Vol fans get worked up about wanting to be back, they always talk about the coach, right? It's always about, we got to get the right coach, and we got to get Nick Saban. We got to get Kirby Smart. We got to get in the recruits. We got to sell the power tee. We got to, and I thought about something. Is that what they need? They need the right coach. They need the right recruits. They need the power tee. They need to find their next Peyton Manning. That's what Butch Jones never did. Butch Jones got all kinds of great recruits. And you can crap on him all you want for his coaching, but Philip Fulmer wasn't the greatest X's and O's coach in the world. But you got to find your great quarterback. And when you have one of those great quarterbacks, you're either going to win a national championship with that guy, or he's going to set your program up to go from a good program to an elite program. Remember what Clemson was when Taj Boyd was their quarterback? They'd win the ACC, or they'd get in second place, and they'd go to an Orange Bowl, and they had a nice program, and they ranked 8th and 9th, and then they recruited Deshaun Watson. And when they got Watson, they took the 8th best team in the country, and they became the best team in the country. And it was them and Alabama every year. And then after Watson left, they recruited like crazy, and they're still one of the best programs, period. Great eras of college football always start with getting that guy. That's what happened at Tennessee. Peyton didn't win a championship at Tennessee, but they needed a shot in the arm. Philip Fulmer was a young head coach. Takes over for Johnny Majors. They have a good program. Peyton Manning shows up. All of a sudden, Tennessee is right there on top every single year. Now, they couldn't beat Florida. That's okay. But it set up what stood to be a great decade of Vol football, and they won the championship in 98. They need their next Peyton. That's what this comes down to. Notre Dame needs that guy. Notre Dame's been good, but they haven't been over the top because they've been doing it with Deshaun Kizer and with Ian Book and with guys who are, they're okay. You need the great one. Remember how bad Stanford was as a college football program? Year in and year out, they were terrible. Then they got Andrew Luck. And all of a sudden, Stanford reset their program. I was in college at Louisville. And I remember the welcome back dinner they had for student athletes and coaches and equipment staff and support staff. And they had a welcome back dinner to start the school year, my senior year. And we were not very good. Steve Kragthorpe was the coach. They were awful. Didn't make a bowl game for my first 2 years. 6-6 made a bowl game. The Beef O'Brady's Bowl is what they made. And it was played at the Tampa Bay Rays Stadium when I was a junior. And I remember that there was a highly touted freshman quarterback that was sitting down at my table by the name of Teddy Bridgewater. And all of a sudden, they were in the Sugar Bowl. You need that guy. That's why, I was thinking about it today. Because every Tennessee fan is going to watch with pride on Sunday when Peyton Manning gets inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And they will cry tears of joy as they think about what Tennessee once was and what will it take for Tennessee to get back. And I don't know who this guy is. Because every year there's about four kids that are the number one kid in the class. And so I don't know what it is. I don't know who it is. But they need their next Peyton. And you're going to say, well, but Jared, there's not another Peyton Manning out there for you to go get. That's why it's hard. That's why it's hard to get you back as an organization, to get that quarterback. The Miami Hurricanes were the hottest thing in college football. Larry Coker ran it into the ground. They got caught cheating. They got the sanctions. And even though they've been okay, they haven't been the U, because they can't get that guy. You got to get that guy. Caroline, your program at LSU, you guys were okay, but it wasn't, you know, you win a national title in 07, and then, you know, it's all right here and there.
Go back in 12, lose.
Get some guys, and it's a Joe Burrow shows up.
Very unsuspectingly, because I do remember, and I'll cold take myself, at the very beginning of the 2019 season, I said Joe Burrow is not the guy. And I will sit here patiently and wait until we do find that guy, but Joe Burrow is not the guy. And at this point, I was so defeated with LSU quarterbacks because LSU had such great defenses, such great wide receivers.
And they would always put guys out like Ryan Perilloux that you'd be like, oh, okay, let's see if this can be the... But they couldn't. They didn't have the guy.
It never clicked. All it takes is that guy. And it's so much easier said than done.
So you either win a national title with a guy, or he sets your program up for the next 20 years. Peyton set the program up for 20 years. He didn't win the title. Mm-hmm. But he set the program up. Deshaun Watson did both. Jameis Winston won the title at Florida State, but he was that guy. Joe Burrow won the title at LSU. He was that guy. So Josh Heupel, that's the job. You gotta find the next Peyton. And they come around. They come around, what, once every 3 years? There's a quarterback that you get that literally can transcend your program?
I mean, look at the drafts the past couple of years.
Trevor Lawrence was a guy at Clemson.
Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts isn't that guy.
But when you're talking about really good college quarterbacks.
So, I think that when you're thinking about guy, Johnny Manziel set up the A&M program for 5-6 years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, A&M, and it's crazy to think because Johnny Football, Kevin Sumlin's an average coach, if not below average. I mean, he's already been fired at two different places.
Well, Cliff Kingsbury's now an NFL head coach because he was Johnny Manziel's offensive coordinator.
Johnny Manziel set up the A&M program. He did it. And that's what Tennessee has to do, is they have to find the next Peyton. So, I mean, we can sit there. You can tell me about defensive line prospects they get. I remember when Butch Jones got Shy Tuttle and Khalil McKenzie. And they're good players. I mean, they were good college players. I remember Derek Barnett. You can get me on safeties, and fine. But if you ever want to see Tennessee as an elite college football program ever again, they have to find the next Peyton Manning. That's the key. So when we talk about Josh Heupel, and everybody says, offense is going to be, I don't care about that. Can Josh Heupel find the next Peyton Manning? Because if you can find the next Peyton Manning, he's got a shot. But if you can't find the next Peyton, doesn't matter. That's what Tennessee has to have. And again, I think people, when you hear, you know, find the next Peyton Manning, that would be like saying, hey, you need to find the next Michael Jordan. And it's like, wait a minute. But yeah, that's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take to have a great program. If you want the Vols to be great again, think about who the next Peyton can be.
Or you have Nick Saban.
But even then, like, I don't think that that's what's going to set Tennessee over the top. Like, even if they got a great coach, like, if you made Dabo Swinney the head coach of Tennessee, I'm not convinced they'd win at the level Clemson has. Like, even though he'd recruit and he'd get some players.
He can recruit and he can bring in those players.
But would he get his Deshaun Watson? Would he get, again, Deshaun Watson, Clemson, and I remember this pretty well because Louisville went into the ACC right when Deshaun Watson got there. And Clemson was a good program, but it wasn't Clemson. I mean, it wasn't what it is now. It was a good program. They recruited well. There was a lot of talk. Chad Morris was a guy that when Charlie Strong left and took the Texas job, Chad Morris was a guy who there was a lot of discussion about how they might go after him as the offensive coordinator at Clemson. They might go after to be the head coach at Louisville. And there was a lot of talk that Chad Morris had gone out of his way to get this kid out of Georgia, who was supposed to be the next superstar. His name was Deshaun Watson. And it was like, wait a minute, this kid's supposed to be a superstar? We were interviewing beat writers that cover Clemson because there was talk about Chad Morris. In fact, true story, the Charlie Strong coaching search, when they went to find the next coach and they ended up getting Bobby Petrino. But when that happened, Pat Narduzzi, defensive coordinator at the time at Michigan State, was one of the top guys. Just Chad Morris, offensive coordinator at Clemson, was one of the top guys. And Kirby Smart, defensive coordinator at Alabama, was one of the top guys. And I remember I was hosting one day, and I needed someone to talk about this Pat Narduzzi. So I was like, who covers Michigan State? Who's the beat writer for Michigan State? So I texted some jerk named Joe Rexroad, and I asked him if he'd come on my show in Louisville and talk to me about Pat Narduzzi. It's crazy, but life comes at you fast. That's what they need. They need the next Peyton Manning. 615-737-1025. If you got a Peyton Manning thought as he goes into the Hall of Fame, get it in. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Adam has been waiting patiently. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, so I love Peyton, man. I named my son after him. Like, he was my favorite player ever. The question I got for you, Jared, because I know you're a huge Titans fan. You probably still are and just can't say it. So I think that whole Peyton going into free agency thing, it still keeps me up at night because I feel like Bud Adams, like, muffed that so bad. I think
Bud didn't muff it. Mike Reinfeld's the one who screwed it up.
Do you think there was any chance we could have ever got him, or you think it was all Elway?
So this is what I think, and I appreciate your call, Adam. The Titans back then were an okay team, but there was nothing sexy about them at all. You know, Nashville, this was 2011, I believe, or after the 2011 season. Nashville had not exploded as a city like it has over the last decade. But I will say this. Manning obviously knew enough about Nashville. The Titans didn't have the team that the Broncos had. Now, I do agree with Adam that I believe that Mike Reinfeldt didn't sell Peyton on coming here. He didn't want Peyton. So Bud Adams says, I want Peyton. And Mike Reinfeldt's like, well, we just drafted Jake Locker. We don't need Peyton Manning. And that's what got Mike Reinfeldt fired, because Bud Adams felt like that was insubordinate. And in all seriousness, Bud Adams was right, because Jake Locker was Jake Locker, and Peyton Manning's one of the greatest quarterbacks who ever lived and continued his career in Denver. I think that back then it was between San Francisco and Alex Smith and Denver, who had Tim Tebow, and it ended up being Peyton Manning. And I don't think Peyton would have come here. But it is pretty crazy to think that the Titans somewhat chose to not get Peyton Manning. Though, again, I don't think they would have gotten Peyton. And I vehemently believe, like, will go to my grave believing, if they had wanted Tom Brady, they could have had Tom Brady. That in 2020, had they said, hey, Ryan, everything you did for us was great, but we're going with Tom, they'd have had Tom Brady. And I believe had Tannehill screwed the whole deal up by playing well. Had Tannehill come in here and been the Miami Tannehill, and the team had finished 6-10, they'd have moved on from Tannehill at the end of the year, and they'd have signed Tom Brady. But kind of amazing to think about. We'll get to your text, 615-737-1025, and more of your Peyton Manning calls as well, 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company, we are delivered by TriStar Moving on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It is ESPN 1025 The Game. Let me see if I need to tell the fine folks. Yes. 102.5 The Game is bringing you Nashville's best coverage of Titans training camp, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans, Frontier Basement Systems, the all things basementy company, The Trenches Shop and Gallery Boutique, and the Cut Truck Mobile, Nashville's new barber shop on wheels. You have control of time and place. Book your appointment at thecuttruckmobile.org. Stillman and Company, it's a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Still Gentlemen and Company Hall of Fame weekend. Peyton Manning goes into the Hall of Fame. Do you have a problem with all the people getting inducted? I mean, I get it. You couldn't have had the ceremony last year, and you want your family there and the fans there. But there's like, too many people that I don't care about going in the Hall of Fame. It's like it ruins it for Peyton that we have to sit there and watch a speech from someone we don't care about.
I think that you're being a crybaby about it.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, I don't get into like the Hall of Fame speeches anyways. Like when Ray Lewis pulled out like the headset mic, and I was like, oh, Lord, here we go. Well, I mean, 22 inductees. Like, you know, okay, I'm fine with Calvin Johnson.
Well, it's 22 from last year and this year.
And it includes the centennial class that honors the 100th year of the NFL. Yeah. And
It's more than normal. I mean, this, like, the 2021 class is what, like, 6 or 7 guys?
Yeah, which is what I would prefer.
It's not a lot. But, I mean, you know, you have
eight
last
members
year,
for
and they just and they deserve their moment in the sun. They, it would be terrible to be in the Hall of Fame and never get that opportunity to celebrate it. So I'm glad that the 2020 group gets to have their shining moment. But, yes, it's a lot more than there normally is.
Well, I got mad about the centennial class. Like, I didn't think Bill Cowher belonged in the Hall of Fame. And they put him in the Hall of Fame. Like, I thought Bill Cowher was a good coach. And he won that one Super Bowl at the end. But, like, nah, he's fine. He's fine. Like, that's where, like, when Joe Rexroad says something like, you know, if a guy does something in Pittsburgh or Dallas or Green Bay, it doesn't matter if it's Buffalo, Cincinnati, Tennessee. And I'm like, mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. Because Bill Cowher is only getting in because he was the coach of the Steelers. Jimmy Johnson, I'm okay with. Here's the thing about Jimmy.
I think he belongs there.
Is the early 90s, Jimmy was the face of that. Troy Aikman was not the face of that Cowboy team. It was Jimmy who rebuilt the roster. Now, there was no salary cap back then, but it was Jimmy who pulled off the Herschel Walker trade. It was Jimmy who, and you think of that early 90s, and it's Cowboys, Cowboys, Cowboys. And I can go with that. Yeah, I mean, a little Buffalo Bills here and there, but it really, you know, they didn't win a Super Bowl. Dallas won all the Super Bowls. So, Dallas, good with Jimmy. Not okay with Bill Cowher. You know I can't stand Edgerrin James being in the Hall of Fame. I think it's ridiculous. But it is Peyton Manning's time to shine. 615-737-1025 Fireball Hot Take Friday phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do we have on the text line as far as Peyton's induction to the Hall of Fame is concerned?
Ben texts into the text line and says, I still consider Manning as the GOAT, and Rexroad would agree. No one manipulated defenses more so than Peyton, and he was essentially a great coach on the field. If he had a head coach like Belichick and defenses like Brady had in New England, he would have had more rings.
So let me start by saying this, which is, this was a discussion they had on the morning show. I'm guessing that this is, you said it was Ben who texted in?
I think that's
Indianapolis
Colts fan Ben.
Okay.
I'm sure he
so
loves him.
So we know we're, okay. I heard them discussing this in the morning show about how could there be more than one GOAT? And the answer to that is no. GOAT is greatest of all time, which is one. In fact, Wayne Gretzky had the nickname the Great One, and Muhammad Ali told Wayne Gretzky, you may be the Great One, but I'm the greatest. And there's only one GOAT, and it's Tom Brady. Like, I hate it for Manning, and I said this at the top of the hour. I hate it for Peyton that his career will be overshadowed by Tom Brady. But that's ultimately what it comes down to.
And I think that that same logic applies to any other great basketball player playing right now, because no matter how great they are, they will never be LeBron James.
Well, see, that's where I differ, because and I don't know what we're going to consider great for basketball in the future, because all these guys switching teams. Like, I don't count Kevin Durant's championships. How can you count?
Why not?
Because he went to the team that was already there.
Okay, you operate under the circumstance of, why would I eliminate something? Why would I look past that whenever it's there?
No.
You cannot just look past Kevin Durant's
championships because he won them. This is a total general consensus that Durant's championships are nothing like Michael's, where he had to go through the bad boy Pistons. And he had to go through Magic Johnson, and he did it with his team.
I don't think they're as quality as Michael Jordan's, but they're still championships.
Oh,
no.
I'm not going to make the argument.
I'm not making the argument that Kevin Durant is a better basketball player than Michael Jordan, but will have a legacy like Michael Jordan.
The difference
I'm not
is,
making that argument.
This isn't my opinion. This is the general consensus that once LeBron won the first one in Miami, it was tainted because he engineered that team. And Durant did one more where he went to the team that was for sure going to win the championship if he was on it. Like, nobody. See, that's the opposite of competition. Like, the way Michael did it was he would have figured out a way with Westbrook and that Oklahoma State team to win a title there. Ian, back me up on this. The general consensus is Kevin Durant's Golden State championships don't count when we talk about greatness.
Yeah, I think people are like, he kind of went there to take the easy route.
He game-sharked that, baby.
Well, I'm not making the argument that Kevin Durant's but whatever. I'm just saying, like, when you look at great quarterbacks right now, they will get overlooked by Tom Brady. You make that argument about Peyton Manning. Okay. Great basketball players right now will get overlooked by LeBron James.
Maybe. I don't know how this era will be viewed in basketball because people hate LeBron so much. And because LeBron, like, I think people will look
back on... People hate LeBron, but people talk about LeBron.
I think that people will look back on LeBron as inferior to Michael, and that will be the first thing that comes up all the time.
That will be the argument that stands the test of time is LeBron or Jordan.
So it's easy for me to say that... Well, see, I don't think it will stand the test of time. When LeBron retires with four rings and Michael has six all in the same place, I don't think it's going to be close. Like, I think the discussion's over. But if LeBron wins another ring, that'll give him five. And then if you have five, then you could see, okay, if he gets the six, then he's tied with Jordan. But he's lost in the finals so many times. And Jordan never lost in the finals. And I go back to this with, like, the era of basketball. I have no idea what this era of basketball is going to be. Because you could take somebody who's a little bit younger, and they could reel off six titles in a row. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who that person is, but nobody knew that about Michael Jordan. I mean, you wouldn't have taken Sam Bowie over Michael Jordan if you knew Michael Jordan was going to be Michael Jordan.
Right.
But I think it's more like the 90s, like the Brady Manning thing, where Brady, when you think of the 2000s era in football, Brady will be the first thing you think of. Before you think of Brett Favre, before you think of Peyton Manning, before you think of Aaron Rodgers, before you think of Drew Brees, before you think of Russell Wilson, before you think of Patrick Mahomes, before you think of anybody, it will be Brady. And I worry that, like, in the 90s, where we had Patrick Ewing and the New York Knicks, and we had Karl Malone and John Stockton and the Utah Jazz, and I'm worried that we're going to look at Peyton like we look at those guys. I also think there's a little part of me that thinks that maybe we'll look at Peyton kind of like we look at Kobe and Shaq, you know, where we recognize Kobe and Shaq don't represent an era.
I think the personality aspect brings in a different element.
Peyton's personality?
Yeah.
There's probably something to that.
Like, everyone knows likeable. Shaq because he is also so likable, and sure, he's such a fun personality and has continued to stay within the media, and I think Peyton will be similar.
Although, when we, like, Shaq, and I love Shaq, but there's no, I mean, Peyton, you know, Peyton is up here and Shaq's, you know, kind of here.
But I mean about, like, the personality, sure,
I think Peyton is probably more like Kobe, where you don't make the argument so much about Kobe being better than Jordan or even Kobe being better than LeBron, mm-hmm, which I would take if this is the thing I've always told people. I'm going to say, so a country singer by the name of Kip Moore said to me one time, we were talking about LeBron and Jordan. He said, if you had to pick one of those two guys to win you a game and your wife and daughter were on the line if you lost it, everybody's taking Jordan. And I said to him, I go, the real question is Kobe or LeBron, who do you take? And I think most people would take Kobe.
I would take Kobe.
I think there's a lot of people. I think we'll look at Manning like we look at Kobe, where we don't ever consider Kobe ahead of Jordan. Mm-hmm. But I think there's like a respect level of Kobe that we say, okay, I mean, hey, that's Kobe Bryant. Caroline's is coming up next. A Fireball Hot Take Friday. You all know I love ice cold Fireball cinnamon whiskey. There is no better way to start your weekend or to ignite your night than with that ice cold Fireball cinnamon whiskey. It is my favorite, and it goes down so smooth. If there was a Hall of Fame of a great, great whiskeys, Fireball would be in there. That's right. Fireball Sin Whiskey. Night to night. Please do responsibly. Be 21 years or older to enjoy. That's Fireball Sin Whiskey. Stillman & Company. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Caroline's, this is going to decide it all. 8-8 for Caroline Fenton, 9-7 for yours truly. It's time for Caroline's.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Caroline's. Here on Stillman & Company.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
We've got Phillies Mets tonight, and I picked this game because I love this pitching matchup, but give me Phillies plus 1.5. They're throwing Kyle Gibson out on the mound with a 2.86 ERA. Mets are throwing out Marcus Stroman, who's got a 2.80 ERA. I think it'll be close. So give me Phillies plus 1.5.
Mets are kind of collapsing. Give me the Mets, though, on the money line. What's next?
We also have a UFC fight tomorrow night, UFC 265. It will be Derek Lewis and Cyril Gane. Give me Gane by a knockout plus 165. He is undefeated in his MMA career. 3 knockouts, 3 submissions, and 2 decisions. And I think that he will be able to go the distance and knock out Derek Lewis.
I'm going to go Gane on a decision.
Okay. We also have USA women's basketball against Japan women's basketball tomorrow night. We talked about it a little bit earlier, but give me the USA women on the money line. I think it's like minus 4,000 or something ridiculous
minus
like
4,000?
That. Like something ridiculous like that. The spread is 18.5. So obviously the bet makers, the line makers know exactly where it will end up for the USA women.
We could play with 3 players. And they can play with 5.
They can play with 6, and we can play with 3.
That's going to do it for us. I'm Kagan USA on the money line. That's going to do it for us. Speaking of money line, that comes up next. Chase McCabe, I believe, Ryan Porth, hanging out with you next. All of your gambling stuff. That's it for us. Have a great weekend. We will be back Monday at 2.